This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Armani and Queens.
I've been listening to you guys a really long time. I was going through a really hard time when I first started listening to you guys. I was over 300 pounds, and it was around when Dave was trying to lose some weight. Hearing your conviction, Dave, it helped me a lot. I'm sitting today under 200 pounds.
Wow. Wow.
I love you guys. You guys are like another family to me. Everything you guys do, it means the world to everyone. I wish you all well. And thanks to your family.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, that was a call. We welcome the calls. 1-800-919-3776. And that was a call. It had emotion. It had paid off at the end. So the man has lost over 100 pounds. What a call that was.
I teared up.
Did you really?
I did.
Yeah, I'm not much of a crier.
No, ever since I had kids, I mean, it's just like...
Well, I do. You know what makes me well up, though?
I'm going to tell you. Disney movie?
No, not really. But I almost guarantee you that it does the same to you. And you're going to laugh. Now, let me just explain it before you jump down my throat here. Have you seen that Google commercial? And it's like he has a new baby. And then he says, I can't wait for the world to see you through my eyes and through their eyes. And have you seen that one?
I have seen that one, yeah.
That one, it actually comes on and I just turn it off. I'm like, I don't want to endure this.
I mean, you are speaking to a man that weeped to
wept.
Kelly Clarkson on the Cross
wept
Bronx.
The
so, yeah, you can
yes.
imagine commercials like that.
Yeah. That one I can't.
What's the other commercial too where the dad, like they go through the whole process of like the dad with the daughter as the daughter grows up? Like she's a baby to a kid, and then all the up to the point where she gets married, and then they have that first dance. It destroys me.
Oh,
destroys me.
That's a lot too. There was a Dick's Sporting Goods commercial I almost wept at the other day. I'm not kidding. Like she's a little girl, and they buy a basketball hoop and Dick's, and then they're shooting free throws, and then I guess she goes off to college, and he keeps shooting the free throws just on his own. I'm like, oh my god.
I know. Listen, hey, I mean you're further along in the process than I am, but like, just listening to him talk now. Like how grown up they sound. It's
and then your kids little, are six.
Little, I know six.
Your
and
oldest
five,
is six.
Little, but my little baby daughter, man, 5 years old. Now I just talking about when she gets married. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah,
Please wait.
I hope that we're still in touch and that.
What do you mean? You hope we're still in touch? Are we gonna have a falling out
when she gets married?
Well, hopefully we're doing the show together. Still.
Well, I hope so. But I mean, there's a very good chance that I'm not with us anymore when Ella gets married.
What she's
five.
I mean,
yeah, so
but
if she gets married at 35, that's
you're
30
not even 50
years.
Yet.
I'm going to be 78.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you're not even 50 yet. I mean, let's
relax. Yeah, but
relax.
I'm going to be, I mean, I'm almost be an octogenarian. I'm going to be 78 years old.
You take such good care of yourself.
Oh,
look
such
at you.
Good care of myself.
I mean, you're the picture of health, physical fitness. You're like the Jack,
years old,
you're
though.
Like the Jack LaLanne of sports talk.
I don't see it the same. But I just I hope that I can be at that wedding. And I hope that Rosenberg can be there to not give a gift to your daughter and her new husband.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's going to happen.
No, probably not. DPHRO Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. So we didn't spend a ton of time, but... I felt good about that Knicks win last night. Again, this take, which is ridiculous, of, oh, I just wanted to see LeBron. You never know how many chances you're going to get to see him, was one of the dumb takes I've ever heard. And I agree with Don, who took the other side of it. But he didn't play. Knicks went out there, put up a huge lead, fell apart in the third quarter, did enough to hang on, quickly played very well. Fournier finally played well. And the Knicks get a much-needed victory against a team that a week ago, or a couple days ago, you said is going to be very tough to get. So good for them.
Yeah, no, it's a good win. And they got off to a really good start. I mean, you mentioned Fournier. I mean, the fact that you're playing him late in that game, too.
Thank
was
God
nice.
He was good. I've almost had enough of that guy.
I think a lot of Knicks fans felt the same way. I mean, you brought him in as one of your... I mean, that was one of your big offseason moves. And then the reality has been you haven't been able to play him in crunch time of games because you don't trust him. So it was nice to see him play well. I mean, quickly what he did in the fourth quarter, he hit the 12 points in the fourth quarter. But again, it was one of those nights where it felt like you had this big lead, and end of the second quarter, into the third quarter. And I didn't realize this at the time. I mean, I've watched some of the Lakers stuff this season, but I mean, they're just as bad as the Knicks are in the third quarter. They're terrible in the third quarter.
Awful. Usually. Absolutely awful.
But then the Knicks, I mean, Lakers go on their 25-4 run, and it got a little bit dicey. Melo ends up tying it up with that transition dunk, but now they found a way to get through it. And when you look at what's, I mean, we went over this yesterday, but you look at what's coming up for them.
It's daunting.
I mean, game at home, no LeBron James. You had to take advantage of that, and they did. I give them credit.
Yep, I give them credit as well. And like I said, and that's kind of the mantra of this show, is there's no such thing as a bad win. I don't want, will you beat him without LeBron? I don't care. I really don't. Let the Knicks win a championship with every other team on the way hobbled. Like, it means nothing to me. Just go out, win the game, move on. And that's where we are. So what do we have now? Phoenix on Friday?
Yeah, we got Phoenix. Red hot Phoenix.
What do they win, like 13 in a row now?
Yeah, we're going to have our hands full. And that's the other thing, though, too, that I think, because I was thinking about this the other day, why the Knicks haven't really had any home court advantage this year. They've actually struggled at home. And I was thinking about this. So usually the benefit of being a New York team or an LA team or a Miami team or now a Vegas team is that you're used to being in New York. You're used to being in Miami. You're used to being in Vegas. But visiting teams come in. Oh, I mean, we're lighting it up in Vegas. We're lighting it up in Miami. With COVID, I don't think that's the case anymore. Like, you're not coming, like,
the
you know
teams
what I'm
are coming in all hungover and in a mess.
Yeah, like, you're not going to be out till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning partying because it's your first time back, and you know, it's your first time in New York. You know what I mean? Like, I get to go to Miami, so I'm going to go light it up in Miami.
Right. That's kind of out the window. Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. Let's take a listen to the head coach of the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau, on holding on despite losing that enormous lead.
Yeah, it's a long game. Teams are going to have runs. You do a lot of good things to build a lead like that. You know, you have to play for 48 minutes. Teams can make up ground quickly, you know, with the three in transition. And so we knew going in that their fast break was something that we would have to deal with. We had a stretch where we weren't good in transition, but then we gathered ourselves and we finished it out well. So they had 19 in the fourth, and so it's what we needed to do.
How big was the Knicks' lead last night?
The league got up to, they were up at 25. They had a 25-point lead, and like I mentioned, they had the Lakers go on the 25-4 run.
You cannot have a 25-point lead evaporate without LeBron James being in that game. I'm sorry.
No, and they never trailed. Like, I mean, they never trailed. The game did they did tie it up. I mean, the Knicks at one point, I think it was like they were for like a 7-minute span, they were 1-for-11.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And they still turn the ball over too much for me. They do.
But again, it's a win. We'll have plenty of those days to discuss it after a loss, but last night was a win.
Then Julius Randle was in foul trouble later in that game, too.
Yeah, he certainly was. I thought this was an interesting soundbite. Let's take a listen. Julius Randle saying it's going to take some time for the starting lineup to kind of mesh together.
What, 19 games in? 18 games in? I mean, this takes time, bro. Like, the thing about us is we've stayed encouraged, we stayed positive, we had highs, we had lows. But once it starts clicking, we're going to be a really, really good team. And we're starting to take a step in the right direction. And like I said before, he's a huge part of our team. So, you know, I'll make sure that, you know, establish him and he gets comfortable. Kemba, everybody gets comfortable to where we're just going out there, we playing, and, you know, we know what's going to happen. We know where our shots are going to come from. We know that we have each other's back on the defense, and that's what makes the game fun.
See, I don't know that I agree with him on that. I think that the team can get better and be good, but I think if that's going to be the case, you're going to need to see more of the guys from the bench. I think you're going to need to see more quickly and more Toppin, and maybe less of some of the starters.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, where's Toppin playing?
You got to get him playing time.
Where though? You know, small?
I don't know.
Not going to play over Randle at the moment.
No, of course not. Randall's going to play, but listen, I don't need to see, and you're starting to see less time. I don't need to see a lot of Kemba Walker. I don't.
So who do you want running the point then? Quickly? That's not what he does. Well. I mean, that's not his best.
Well,
his best
you know what? Then Rose. I know he didn't play last night, but Derrick Rose quickly. Yeah, I'd like to see less Kemba Walker. I've been unimpressed with Kemba Walker through 18 games.
Well, but that's a problem then, though, because I mean, what made And I don't want, like, I don't even know what the word to use is. I don't want to say special, but what made all the difference last year for this Knicks team was that we had the first unit, and then all of a sudden we could throw in our bench with Derrick Rose at the point, and we could take advantage of the other team. Like, the bench was one of our humongous strengths. Now, if I take Derrick Rose off the bench, now what do I do to the bench unit? I don't want to take away from that.
No, but yeah, the thing is, the bench unit is so good with Burks and Rose and Toppin and Quickly. I mean,
I don't want to screw with that. I would rather not screw with that.
I get it, but I don't want to start five guys that just they don't play well together. And I don't know that I agree with Julius Randle where this thing is just going to turn around because they're going to play more games together. Like, is Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier going to become good defensive players?
No.
So if they play 30 games or 40 games or 60 games, do you envision the starting backcourt is going to be good defensively?
No, I don't think it'll be good defensively. What I would hope, and I think part of the reason why Julius Randle's been a little bit off is from what you just heard in that soundbite, is that he's trying to find a way to make the other guys comfortable. Right? Like I thought that was some real insight into what he's like as the leader of the team, what he's trying to do.
Well,
I'm
he
trying
has
to incorporate
to.
These two new players.
That's got to be his role.
Okay, but it's taken away from his. But offensively, it's taken away from his game right now. Because that's the real problem. I don't expect them to be really, really good defensively, but I have to have them good offensively,
which they haven't been.
Which they haven't been.
If you're going to be 5 points less defensively a game, then you need to be 6 points better offensively a game. And I don't think you've gotten that trade off yet.
No, you haven't. So I mean that's the hope, right? If those guys get more comfortable offensively, then we can start to overlook a little bit of the lack of defense.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you get the Tesla yet?
No, I told you, I'm not allowed to get a Tesla.
Well, why can't we just step up to the plate? I mean, why can't you just say, hey, listen, Sherry, I love you with all my heart.
Right.
Could you please, please just let me do this one thing for myself? Just want a Tesla. That's it.
Said no. I'm not getting a Tesla. I'm not allowed.
No. I'm not. And you won't get a pickup. You don't want to join the. You don't want to join the fraternity.
No,
get a pickup.
I'm not a pickup.
Motorcycle.
You know what would happen if I got a pickup? Be like Monday.
Hey, be
morning,
a real man.
Be like, where's Dave? He's locked in the pickup. Or be like, my back is out. I was trying to get out of the pickup and I hurt myself.
You know, the nice little feature of the pickup truck too. I didn't even realize this when I got it. Is when if you have anything in the back seat, like I actually have my backpack on the back seat.
Right.
When I shut the car off, I get an alert on the screen to make sure you check the back seat for a passenger.
Really? Like maybe you left a child in the back.
Yes.
I forgot we had a baby. But not in the car.
In case you forget you have a baby.
Not in the car, I didn't forget.
But it happens, though.
That's terrible. I don't understand how that happens.
No, I know, but I thought that was a terrific feature, though.
It's a great feature. But Tesla, no. Not something I'm allowed to get.
What about for your 50th birthday? Would she do it for your 50th birthday?
I think she'd have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just wait and just kind of drop hints. You know, it'd be great for my 50th, that 50th, Tesla.
50th Tesla. Tesla 50th. Yeah.
I could see you in a Tesla. I could see you pop out of one of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
I just drove one. I was phenomenal.
Yep.
Oh, I drove it beautifully.
Yep. It's got a nice big screen in it, too, doesn't it?
Oh, so you can play games while you drive. It's very safe. Very, very safe. We've qualified listeners all week for a chance to win $1,000, and we have a winner. John Mooney from Toms River, New Jersey, is our winner, and he's going to pick this week's Big Blue game. John's going to have to pick the Giants to cover the spread against the Eagles for $250 or for the big $1,000. Pick the Giants to win outright. All from your home for football, 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So happy Thanksgiving, and let's see if we can put a few shekels in your pocket. What's the spread now, nice. RJ? Is it currently 3.5?
It is 3.5.
3.5 is the number. You could take the Giants plus 3.5 for 250 or be a man and take the Giants to win outright for $1,000.
Well, I want that $1,000, so we're going with the money line.
Nice. That's what we're talking about.
You heard what he
sincerely.
Said, too. You heard what John said, though. You weren't pushing him to do it.
No, he wanted to do it on his own.
He wants to do it himself.
Because he already was a man before I did that.
Exactly.
Yep.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man.
That never gets old. So, John, listen, congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully, as Hanukkah approaches on Sunday night, you're a man that has $1,000 cash in his pocket.
All right. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's go Giants, baby.
That's right. Let's go Giants.
That could Freddie be one Kitchens. Of my favorite songs. One of my favorite sing-along songs.
Is what? Let's is go Giants?
No. Of course not. Ugh. Is the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
Oh, the best.
I love that song.
Would you, if we played it, would you sing it with him?
I won't sound good. I won't sound. My voice sounds like trash. I wouldn't sound good, but.
No, well, nobody's looking for that.
I do love that song.
It's a great song. Let's go to some of these calls. They're all lined up. Let's go to Winston in Brooklyn. Winston, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, Dave? How you doing, Rick?
Good, Winston. How are you?
I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Dave, because you're my sports guru. I do consider you that because I was challenged. They try to, my friends, as soon as Brooklyn came to New York, they tried to get me to jump on the bandwagon. And I asked myself, what would Dave do? And Dave wouldn't quit on his team. Like, if you're a Knicks fan, stay a Knicks fan. And that's what I did. And I'm happy that I'm still a Knicks fan, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, I'm happy to provide that service for you. And the bracelets are being made, WWDD. What would Dave do? And you never, ever, ever turn your back on one of your teams, ever.
No. I mean, that would be, if you get those bracelets made, I mean, the amount of people being arrested would skyrocket.
What does that mean?
I mean, what would Dave do in situations like that?
Uh-oh.
What should I do? Should I make a bet on the WNBA?
Uh-oh.
Yep, Dave would do it. I mean, prostitution would be through.
The slot machines are for losers.
What is the matter with you? I mean, the first one, I was like, all right, that's funny. And that's not incorrect. And then you took it there.
I don't care about your children. Rub my glutes.
And how about Don?
Well, and yeah, for the Super Bowl, naked. Fully naked, naked.
That would be the beauty of that band, though.
It could be what would Don do? What would Dave
do?
What would
DiPietro
do?
Oh, my God.
That right,
could
get,
that could get real ugly. The question is, what wouldn't you be doing if it was what would Don do, what would Dave do, or what would DiPietro do? There's nothing. You're not
the
saying no to
just
anything.
Do it. Just do it.
Just
I don't
do
think
it.
About the meme. Just do it.
You go back to Nike. Just do it.
Yeah, that's right. Just do everything. Shooter in Stanford. Good morning, Shooter. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hall of Famer Rob Carew. Good morning, guys. I wanted to just say happy Thanksgiving. After COVID, there's been tons more cars on the road, and the commute sucks, and you guys make it good, so thank you for that. And my comment about the Knicks, last night you really saw how Kemba Walker's knees are jello. He's just not that good. He's like a 3-4 on a team option. Fournier is like a 3-4 option. And our star Randall is like a 2-3. So unless this changes and we get like a true tier one stud, I mean, it's just going to be, we're just going to cycle this over and over again.
Well, let's not freak out. I mean, this is a team that 2 years ago was one of the worst teams in basketball, and now you watch them and there's a sense of excitement. So let's not go
but
there.
Expectations, but time out, Dave. I mean, expectations have changed a little bit for this team.
I understand that, but he makes it sound like things are dire. They're not dire.
No. Well, no, but I mean, you just got done saying it a couple minutes ago. I mean, your two off-season acquisitions that you thought were going to get you to that next level, which is hopefully, you know, winning a playoff series, doesn't look great right now.
No, it's hard for me to really imagine the Knicks are winning a playoff series until they bring in like an elite player like that.
Well,
they needed
a legitimate, like a legitimate point guard. Like I don't know why they weren't more interested in Lonzo Ball. I don't.
I agree with you. What frustrates me is they spent a lot of money on Fournier. You might know off the top of your head, but I don't know how much Kemba Walker makes. But I mean, Fournier makes $18 million a year.
Yeah, which is in the NBA isn't crazy money.
No,
that's a good chunk of change. Yes,
but
how much
does Kemba Walker make? Right? Do you have that? Do you know that? Kemba Walker salary.
No, I just got. I just somehow got Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker.
Waka waka.
No, waka waka. He makes 17, almost 18.
18?
No, he signed, yeah, no, 2-year deal. So he makes almost 9 a season.
All right, so now you're talking about 9 for him, 18 for Fournier, $27 million. You could have a big-time player for $27 million. I would much prefer that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Tell me if you agree with this. I would have preferred, though, having somebody that filled the need but also fit into what they've already built. Like the strength, like the identity of this team was really good defense. Lonzo Ball's a really good defensive player. You know what I mean? Kemba Walker has never been a good defensive player, let alone a very good defensive player.
No.
And neither is Fournier.
No, you can't be surprised by the lack of production defensively from these guys.
So Lonzo Ball got a 4-year, $85 million deal. I mean, unless they're holding out hope, maybe the plan is that we put a Band-Aid on this with Kemba, we bring in Fournier, and then at some point during the season, we try to make a big move.
I think so. And I've heard Allen say a number of times, and Jay Williams has said a number of times, that in December, big-time guys are going to become available. So let's see. Listen, I believe in the Knicks a whole lot more than I did 2 years ago. So let's be a little bit patient and see how this thing plays out. Now, quickly, did you at all see the Gonzaga and UCLA game last night?
I did.
Gonzaga is really,
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 really
good.
Good.
And yes. This kid, Chet Holtman, is...
Holmgren, yep.
Holmgren, yeah. Really, really good. He's a unicorn. He's 7'1". Dude. He can go end-to-end. He can dunk in your face. He can block shots. He runs the court. He has a handle. He is a special player. Very good chance he's the number one pick in the draft this coming year.
Yeah, wait till he actually puts on some weight on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's real thin right now, but still, like, that's the amazing part about watching these young guys, like, how well they handle the basketball. Right? Like, I mean, that's, back in the day, I'm making myself sound old, but back, like, were you seeing guys 7 feet tall that could handle the basketball like a point guard?
No, never.
Never?
Never. And he is so capable. He was great. They are terrific. They played Duke on I think, Friday of this week in what should be a really good game. But I don't know if you saw this. So Dick Vitale, who was diagnosed with cancer, in October.
Yeah, lymphoma, yep.
And has been enduring treatments and hospitalized and surgery and everything, called the game, and it was his first game of the season last night. We talk about, you know, getting emotional. You will when you hear this. Here is Dickie V last night at the start of Gonzaga and Duke.
Made it out to Las Vegas for a game that I know you had circled for a long, long time. Is just awesome. Great to see you.
Great being here, Dave. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want to thank all you people. Send me so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable.
Oh, I mean,
I love him.
Well, how could you not? And not only that, but this is a guy that has done so much to raise money for cancer research. And now for him to be, you know, struck by cancer and have to endure this. And, you know, I'm sure he had the thoughts of, I'm never going to be behind a microphone again. And now that he is, it's got to be emotional. You heard how emotional it was.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, he's doing what he loves to do, right? I mean, this is, yeah, I love stuff like that. And he, I mean, I don't know how you, I mean, you listen to his passion too. Like, for anyone that does what we do, like, to listen to someone like him enjoy doing it as much as he enjoys doing it, I mean, that's, I get motivated listening to him. I do.
How, like,
I
hope he's 82, big plays in the game last night, and he is still
he's
so
going wild.
Excitable. Yeah, he loves it.
I love
great.
That.
You only hope that you can love what you do at 82 the way he does, and it's great that it looks like he's recovering well, and God bless Dick Vitale and everybody as we enter this holiday season.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah. So much fun to celebrate Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
I like your imitation of Adam
Sandler. Instead of one day of Christmas, we get eight crazy nights.
God, so good. kid in town without a Christmas tree. Here's a list of people who are Jewish. Just like you and me.
See, Adam Sandler makes Hanukkah cool.
I mean, that's exactly what he set out to do.
All these years of just, oh, you celebrate Hanukkah? Mm-hmm. Eight nights, candles, whatever. Now Adam Sandler writes a little song about it. Hanukkah's cool. Thank you.
It's not just a little song. I mean,
I'm just saying, but I'm sure
it's a hit.
He didn't think it was going to have that kind of an impact when he wrote it, I'm sure.
No, I don't think he thought it would, but I mean, it's some of his best work. I mean, let's be honest.
Just great. He's really talented guy.
Oh, he's the best, dude.
He really is talented. You've seen Uncut Gems, right?
I've seen Uncut Gems. I love his movies. He makes me laugh. There are certain actors that, like, he's one of them. Vince Vaughn cracks me up. Ryan Reynolds cracks me up. What's his name from Jason Bateman cracks me up.
He's good.
He's so
really good. See,
he
I don't know. So I'm more impressed by the guys that can do comedic roles and then serious roles too.
Yeah, I mean, just think. I mean, Sandler and Click was awesome.
Yeah, very good. And Bateman in
Spanglish, he was good.
Very
Bateman's good. Good in Ozarks. I'll tell you what.
You ever seen the movie with what's the guy's name? Oh my god, I can't remember. The guy that lost all that weight.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah. No. It wasn't Jonah Hill. It was the other guy. It was the guy who was in Freaks and Geeks. He's you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know who he is.
Well, I know who he is, but I can't off the top of my head, no.
And Adam Sandler, he had cancer, and then he went into remission, and he kind of took this guy under his wing and made him his Seth Rogen, I think, is who it is.
Yeah, but I don't think Seth Rogen lost all the weight. Jonah Hill's the one that lost all the weight.
I think Seth Rogen had a good weight loss.
No, but not like Jonah Hill. Like Jonah Hill drastically lost weight.
A better weight loss, but I think Seth Rogen had a very nice weight loss.
Yeah, but I would throw Jonah Hill in that mix, too, as far as doing comedic.
He's great.
Because Moneyball, he was awesome.
Excellent. You know who was supposed to play in Moneyball? That was Paul DePodesta was the role he was playing. Yep.
I got Vince Vaughn and Bateman in the same movie in The Breakup.
Yeah, but that's
Bateman
not
was his real estate agent.
Good movie.
It's a fantastic movie, The Breakup.
The Breakup?
It's hilarious, that
Maybe
movie.
I'm thinking of a different movie.
The one with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Oh, I like that one. What's the one with Kevin James and Vince Vaughn? Not so good. Have you seen that one?
Kevin James and Vince Vaughn?
Not so good. Not so good. Guests on our show, DiPietro and Rothenberg, appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And DiPietro Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Santi, hit it.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, let's go around the league. We got to pick our game. We'll do it quickly, efficiently, and concisely. There's a game you love. Stop me, and we'll discuss. Tomorrow, three games. We can choose from any of those. Bears at the Lions. Andy Dalton making the start. Chicago laying 3 on the road. It sounds like Jared Goff might play in this one now.
Yeah, it sounds like Jared Goff is going to play in this one. You said you like the Lions in this one, I thought.
No. I'm rooting for the Lions. I don't like the Lions.
Of course you're rooting for the Lions.
Right. No, I'm there is no way I'm putting our reputation on the winless team. No.
No.
No, no, no.
And there is, by the way, can you imagine what my Thanksgiving will look like when we're going a 12:30 kickoff and we have one of these teams? No. Not happening.
No. Cowboys 7.5 against the Raiders. I think the Cowboys win this game. Do they win by 8 or more? I don't know about that. Amari Cooper is definitely out. CeeDee Lamb might not play. I think this is a close game, so I'm not in love with this one.
No. But if I'm can we agree that unless we love a game on Thanksgiving Day, we're not messing with this?
Well, I don't think we're messing with anything. And then you get the Bills, and this spread continues to rise, and Buffalo's played bad football. They're laying 6.5 on the road in New Orleans. Now Kamara might not play, Mark Ingram might not play, Ryan Ramczyk is gonna miss time, but I could see Buffalo winning by 7. Again, I don't like this game.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that though.
You like the Bills?
Well, you think Buffalo's a pretty good team, right?
I do.
They have some flaws, the running game and everything else. There's some flaws there, right? But good team at home gets embarrassed, usually has a good bounce back game.
I don't like this game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, Dave,
don't push me. I don't like it.
No, I'm not trying to push you. But did you see what the Eagles did to the Saints?
I understand, but the Bills underwhelm me all the time.
I know.
All the time. I have no confidence in Buffalo. They could win by 30. They could lose by 4.
I would rather stay away from Thanksgiving games.
Okay. Well, then that's done. I can't do this game. I just can't. We took Philadelphia last week. I thought they'd win. They crushed New Orleans. Great. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Take the Eagles -3.5 against the Giants.
Okay. By the way, I mean, you got Jason Garrett fired. Dave Rothenberg got Jason Garrett fired.
That's right. And I'd do it again if I had to.
And we actually we pretty much broke the story on the radio yesterday. I mean, if you listened to our show and had, when Renan was on, he pretty much insinuated that someone was getting fired and Jason Garrett was probably going to be that guy. How about this? Patrick Graham, and they said it how many times during the telecast on Monday? I mean, what are we doing here with this defense? Like, we're not going to disguise. We're not going to disguise anything. Like, this is Tom Brady we're going up against. I was reading something yesterday. This is from Jordan Renan. Said, thought the loss of Logan Ryan was going to be huge.
Uh-huh.
So he talked to Ryan, and Ryan made a point of saying how important it is to disguise everything versus Brady, who notices every little tell. And yet you went into that game against Brady and disguised nothing.
As vanilla as humanly possible. That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think it was Patrick Graham's finest game either. All
no,
right, we
it was
along.
Bad.
We're not taking the Giants, nor are we taking the Philadelphia Eagles. Carolina at Miami.
I like Carolina.
For Carolina. They're laying 1.5. Miami's won 3 in a row. You feel a way about this one?
Yeah, I like Carolina here.
You like Carolina?
I don't think Miami's very... I don't think Tua's very good.
They're not very good. They have won 3 games in a row, however. All right, RG, you can mark down Carolina -1.5 against Miami. Not this next one, which is just a pillow fight. Atlanta, who looked dreadful against Jacksonville. That's a pick'em game.
Yeah, it's a pick'em. I would probably lean Atlanta, but
there's no way we're taking the Falcons.
No, I don't feel good about either of those teams.
This is a great game of which I would actually lean the home team. Tampa short week on the road against the Colts. Tampa laying 3 points. I kind of like the Colts, but you'd have to really love them for me to dial in on this one.
Here's the thing, though. It sounds like Vita Vea almost played against the Giants,
right?
So do you expect him to play in this game? Because if you do, I mean, when that defense is whole, it's not easy to run against that defense. And their offense has been Jonathan Taylor. So, I mean, if Tampa can shut down that run, or at least limit it a little bit.
Yeah, but I lean Indy. If you like
really?
Tampa, and we don't know that Vita Vea is going to play, I don't know. Let's avoid that game then.
Okay.
I like this one. I think you will as well. This could be our game. New England, and we can tell them what we're going to pick, because you know who goes first this week? We do. New England at home against Tennessee. Titans all banged up. Awful loss. New England extended time off. Looked great. Just took the lead in the division. New England laying 6.5. I like New England a lot in this game.
Yeah, I think I do too. This is this is a humongous game for New England too. Humongous game. I mean, look at where the AFC is at. And look at what they have coming up. I mean, they got Tennessee and they got Buffalo twice.
Twice, yeah. Two times.
So, I mean, this is a real opportunity. I mean, New England wins this game right now, and
as splits good as Buffalo,
yeah. But as good as KC has looked, like they seem like they're figuring out defense looks better. Chris Jones moved inside, so it feels like they're coming around. I don't know, man. The way New England's playing, New England all of a sudden they beat Tennessee and they beat them soundly.
Yep.
The conversation coming out of this weekend is going to be New England's the best team in the AFC.
I don't know how Tennessee moves the ball, to be honest with you. They don't run the ball nearly as effectively, and Julio Jones is out, and A.J. Brown is always hurt.
He's banged up.
Yeah. So New England -6.5. R.J. put that one on the
I think I like that one,
on the sheet. Bengals-Steelers, that spread continues to rise. It's open at 3. It's now Bengals by 4.5 as they look to sweep the Steelers.
Yeah, do you trust it? You think they're going to sweep the Steelers?
No, I don't. Listen, I think they could. I don't trust it. I'm not. I don't want to do this game.
No, I don't trust Cincinnati yet. I don't.
Neither do I. And I think rightfully so, you don't trust Cincinnati. Chargers at the Broncos. Chargers laying 2.5 in Denver.
I think I like the Chargers in this game. But
I like the Chargers too, but I mean, the Broncos are typically tough at home. And, you know, even though the Chargers won, they were not impressive. Like, that's a game you should be a laugher. Up by 17 in the fourth quarter. Should have never come to that.
Yeah, they still got issues. That feels like they feel very similar to me as to Cincinnati, where they're on the cusp of becoming like of taking that next step of being more like a more consistently good team. But they still have there's too many ups and downs with them for me.
I agree with you. I don't love that game. I would take the Chargers if I had to, but I don't love it. I like this game, and I think we're going to disagree. Minnesota at San Francisco. San Fran is laying 3. I like Minnesota in this game.
I would take Minnesota too.
Oh, you would? Yeah, man, I just think that San Fran secondary is going to have a whole heck of a problem with Jefferson and Thielen in this one.
Justin Jefferson might be the best wide receiver in the NFL right now.
He is sensational. What a great move that was, huh? They trade Diggs, they get the pick, they take Jefferson. I mean, just a phenomenal move by Minnesota.
Yeah, and not to mention they got Dalvin Cook too. And time-wise on the West Coast, this does turn into pretty close to a 1 o'clock kickoff for Kirk Cousins.
Not that far off. So RJ, mark down Minnesota. We have about a minute here to rifle through three more. Rams, Packers, it's a pick'em. The toe of Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. Rams coming off the bye, I could see them coming out and beating Green Bay.
And that makes me nervous. His toe makes me nervous, although, I mean, with the bad toe, he still played ridiculous in that last game against Minnesota. But and they're going into their bye, too. So, I mean, you put extra emphasis on this one. You don't want to go into the bye off a loss.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no, I don't love that one. I can't take Baltimore, certainly, today because I don't know Lamar Jackson. So they're giving 3.5 at home against Cleveland. If you told me I had a fully healthy Lamar Jackson, maybe, but I don't know that.
Fully healthy Lamar Jackson at home against Cleveland with what's going on with Baker Mayfield right now.
I would take that.
Yeah, I would probably take Baltimore.
But you're not going to know that on Wednesday when we have to make the pick.
Doesn't he have to be healthy, though?
This seems to happen almost every week, so I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
And lastly, Washington, the spread has jumped. They were getting 3, now they're giving 1 at home against the inept Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I just hope Seattle loses. I mean, that's really what I'm down to as a Jets fan, just that Seattle keeps losing.
Yeah, that's your big goal.
You should hope they lose, too.
That we like.
You should hope they lose too. You should be rooting against Seattle too.
Why?
I was listening to you'll love this. I listen to everything, like you know. The whole Russell Wilson conversation has started now.
To the Giants. Yeah, there's some rumbling. Yep, I was reading about that yesterday. Maybe. All right, Santi, that's the end of Around the League. I thought it very well done and concise Around the League, and it was brought to you by Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. Wow, this has been wonderful, but there's still much more to do, and let's go to our three stars of the day.
Today's three stars. Number 3.
And we didn't have a lot of time because the show's only 3 hours, so I just want this to be the third star, and I want you guys to react to it. Here's New England Patriots defensive end Matt Judon.
We got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys, it's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm going up. I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Get a macaroni and cheese off the table, and it'd be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody in the house. Every time I try it, it's the same thing, and it's disgusting. If you want to have a good Thanksgiving, don't cook macaroni and cheese.
Very quickly, your thoughts.
I couldn't disagree more. And let's not bury the lead there. He's getting on his soap opera.
I love that. I'm getting right on my soap opera. Interesting take.
Number 2.
Jason Garrett is gone. Freddie Kitchens is in, so that gives us
Freddie Key.
Woo! Key. Time for Kitchens to eat.
Enough said.
Number 1.
The callers, I mean, really blew us away with all the thank yous today. Going into Thanksgiving, so I'm really proud and happy for the impact that the show's made on people. But more importantly, it gave us this. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. And let's bring in Keyshawn Johnson from KJM Key. I've been clamoring for the Giants to make a move. And yesterday, they finally got rid of Jason Garrett.
Yeah, you could kind of see that was all over written on the wall that he was going to be gone, etched in stone, however you want to phrase it or whatever. Post-presser, Joe Judge, we're looking at everything. When they asked him about Jason Garrett, he didn't say he's going to be my offensive coordinator. Once he didn't say that, I was like, yeah, he's gone. He's out of here. Now, why they did it this soon, I don't know, but I would think that so they can get a look at the quarterback in Jones to make sure that he's the guy moving forward with a different voice that can utilize and put the players in the best position so they can succeed. Daniel Jones is a quarterback that when you look at him, he has some ability. He does have some ability. But a lot of times with these young quarterbacks, they don't have the right people teaching them. And this is one of the reasons I hate the National Football League, because they always predetermine who their staffs are going to be. They're always afraid of hiring somebody who they think might steal their job instead of hiring the right damn people to help you get to the next level. I learned this a long time ago from Bill Parcells. Stop worrying about your job and only worry about winning.
So, Key, I mean, we're in year three right now. Okay, and I get it. It's everything's kind of – there's not as much patience with the young quarterbacks. But, I mean, this is year three. He's accounted for 49 touchdowns, and he has 49 turnovers. But what – I mean, I know he has talent. I like his demeanor a lot. I think he's – mentally, he's built for New York. But gut for you right now, with what you've seen from Daniel Jones, moving forward, is he going to be the franchise quarterback for the Giants or not?
Can he be a long-term solution at quarterback for the Giants? Yes. With the right coaching staff in place. Think about it. When his rookie season under Pat Shurmur's and his offense, Daniel Jones threw 25 TDs in 12 games as a rookie. With Jason Garrett, he threw 20 in 24 games over 2 years. So he has some ability. Think about his rookie year. He's got some ability. They've got pieces in place. As much as the New Yorkers can't stand Dave Gettleman, and I understand why, he has done a pretty decent job at collecting some talent. The staff is not good. The staff isn't good. It was like they put a makeshift staff together. Jason Garrett should have never been on the staff as the offensive play caller in the first place. When has he ever called an offense that made you go, ooh, oh, my God, he's so great. Even when he was coaching the Dallas Cowboys under Wade Phillips, the offense was sputtering along. The offense wasn't Sean McVay's offense or Todd Haley's offense in Pittsburgh or Kansas City or Sean Payton's offense in New Orleans or any of these high-flying offenses that we've seen where people put up numbers.
Certainly wasn't. Certainly hasn't
Key,
been.
Key, quick, just with yes or no answer. If you're the Giants, would you consider, and you are Joe Judge, would you consider, I know you like Todd Haley, would you consider someone like that?
I probably would, 100%. The problem is Joe Judge has to be secure in who he is, because Todd Haley comes with a little bit of a, you know, he's got some edge to him.
Yep.
And you need that. You need that in the room. The players gravitate toward him. His record speaks for itself when he calls plays. The Arizona Cardinals and Ken Whisenhunt, I'll just give you a quick background, and I'm selling him right now. Ken Whisenhunt went to the Super Bowl. He left. They got fired. So, you know, that's how it is.
All right. Key, listen, have a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the food. All right. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everybody. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.